always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
All right, let's go ahead. Yes, it is a food analogy, Michael. They get used to it. I give them a lot of them. You guys can see I am very good at eating, and I'm pretty good at cooking. So there's a lot of food analogies on this here platform. Let's go ahead and you know what? I'm gonna start doing a Q&A early. So I'm gonna go up here and just see if we have any. We do have super comments. We have several super comments. So I'm going to go ahead and dive on into your super comments, starting with the most important sound on the show.
Fuck Washington!
Actually, that reminds me. We have to just collectively laugh at the Boston Celtics. So wherever you are, just go ahead. Go for a little stretch. Inhale. Like, these guys went from, oh, we're definitely getting Giannis, Paul George at 36. They got less picks for Jaylen Brown than it took to sign or than it took to acquire Walker Kessler. Like, that is amazing. That was my favorite. Like, no matter how frustrated I have been over the Lakers offseason, and look, like, there are enough of really, like, smart basketball people. I listened to LFR yesterday, and Darius and Pete are really high on this offseason for the Lakers. And that's fine. Like, I can't wait to talk to Pete about it tomorrow. So, like, between their optimism, their positivity, and the fact that so many Boston fans, so many Celtics fans are so upset, honestly, not a bad offseason. So, it's been like that. That's been fun, you know, like watching Bill Simmons. Apparently, he was getting, you know, that rectal scan or whatever, a colonoscopy. He was like in the middle of a colonoscopy when the trade went down, and like he woke up to that. That's amazing, right? Also, the Clippers, you know what? That's a good point. That is a great point here from where is it? From Bashir. Play the laughing Clippers clip, because it actually works out with the Clippers too, because Paul George is in that Clippers clip. The Clippers just traded away Kawhi Leonard. Like, honestly, good call. Let's just laugh for a little bit.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast.
Backboard.
It was wide open. I can't even make sense.
Lou Williams, he said they just came together this year, as if that was an excuse, like the other team in the conference finals didn't do that.
Well, what happened was, it doesn't even matter.
You know, we didn't have time to get it together, you know? Like, we just...
Did he say that with like lemon pepper wings in his mouth? Is that what happened there?
He's licking it off his
fingers. Like, oh man, there were some absences that cost us some time.
I just can't quite figure out.
Picking it out of his teeth.
Why we don't have any chemistry.
It's like, Lou, in your mic'd up segment, you said 1, 2, 3, Magic City, leaving the last huddle.
All right, we're going to keep this thing going. take a quick second and take a prayer.
They didn't even make the Western Conference. After all that.
To this day, the thing I'm proudest of is just Harrison, Pete, and myself just being complete idiots laughing at the Clippers, who, remember, that was the year they had a 3-1 lead in the bubble, and they couldn't advance to the Western Conference Finals. And, you know, Paul George shoots that shot off the side of the backboard. Just amazing. One of the funniest days in the history of Twitter. All right, let's go ahead with that kind of behind us. We will go ahead and, dive on into your guys' questions and comments and topics and all that good stuff. All right. We start at the top here of the super comments, and we, let's see, where is it? All right, so the first one, Brandon Omang writes, LA should try to offload DK, Jake, and Vando to the Mavs for PJ Washington's. That way we open up about $5 million to try and sign someone else. The vet men's I'd target are Okai, Matisse Thybulle, and Richards. Which one's Richards? And then try to keep Timmy and Magnon on their two ways, or as their two ways. I really like, especially if they trade DeAndre Ayton, because right now they don't have any picks that they could, utilize. They have a pick swap that they could, I guess, use. But outside of that, in terms of draft stuff, they don't really have much to be able to offer. So what you then have to offer is like playable players, right? And young players who teams might be interested in taking a gamble on, and cap flexibility with expiring contracts, and so Lakers have some of that, right? DeAndre Ayton, checks a couple of those boxes in that he is still a starting caliber center, and he's on a very reasonable contract, and that contract is up after this year. So some team, might consider him like a neutral or slightly plus or slightly positive asset, which you combine that with like a Dalton Connect, who's a former first round pick, another unquestionably talented basketball player who doesn't quite have his head on straight. But still, some team might say, oh, if we fix him, that's a great buy low candidate. So you combine Ayton and Connect and maybe like a pick swap. And maybe that convinces some team to take on Jared Vanderbilt's contract. Maybe you get a player back who's like on a contract that they don't love either, and it works out for both sides. But regardless, that's what the Lakers are essentially trying to do. Is they're trying to find a taker for Vanderbilt's contract. They're trying to take a taker or find a taker for Dalton Connect's contract. And they're trying to open up enough space, enough cap space, enough spending power to be able to bring in one of Rui Hachimura, Jonathan Kuminga, one of these other guys. And then after they figured this part out, then they dive into the veteran minimum players. I like Akbaji. Like if I had to choose between the names listed here, Okai Akbaji is somebody who I really would like to take a gamble on. Matisse Thybulle somewhat too, though I've heard some questions about whether or not he's like even that interested in making continuing to play basketball at a very high level, or if he just kind of wants to go to a team and be a positive influence, which is also valuable. I just think that like we've already seen JJ not want to play Jared Vanderbilt, and I don't think he would be all that interested in playing Matisse Thybulle. Richards, I still don't even know who Richards. Oh, Nick Richards. Nick Richards would be interesting if you trade Ayton, you bring in Richards, and he's another like lob threat, big body, who I think would make some sense for the Lakers. But I also don't hate the idea of bringing back DeAndre Ayton if he buys into the backup center role and fully commits to being, and like him going on or going taking on second units, and I would imagine in those groups he would be playing a lot with like Austin. And Austin and he had good chemistry last year. So like, I actually don't hate the idea of DeAndre Ayton. I would have, the reason, you know, in yesterday's show, I saw somebody really disagreed with me saying I would have preferred to keep Hayes instead of Ayton. The reason I said that is because he's a different pitch that the Lakers could throw from the center spot. Meaning Hayes is like this rim running way above the rim type athlete who Luka tends to make look a lot better. Whereas Ayton is a lot more plodding, a lot more methodical, a lot more skilled, and a lot bigger. But Ayton is kind of an extension of Kessler, whereas Hayes is a different type of player that you could throw there. And I like the idea of having different pitches with different centers. So like Mamu is a very different center from Ayton, who would be a very Mamu is a very different center from Kessler, who would be a very different center from Hayes. Whereas like Mamu was a very different center from Kessler, who was a very similar center to Ayton. And that flexibility isn't quite as presented there, but you're talking about a backup center there. And like DeAndre Ayton being your backup center means you're really good at the center spot. To be like completely honest, you would be like the Lakers would be set from the center spot there. So I don't hate it if the Lakers would prefer to hold on to Ayton. And also, it might make more sense for Ayton to stick around with the Lakers to try to get bird rights. Like, that's basically what all of these guys are going to do, whether it's Ayton, whether it's Rui, whether it's Kuminga, whether it's, you know, all of the guys that the Lakers just signed via free agency. Like, they are trying to stick with the Lakers long enough to get bird rights. And then the Lakers are just going to get, they're going to scale up in terms of how much this team costs. And they'll eventually go above the first apron. Eventually, they'll get right up against the second apron. And if they're good enough, ideally, they would exceed the second apron to keep this group together. But if not, then you got to adjust it. But yeah, I love the idea of Ogbaji as a buy low veteran minimum signing on the wing. I really liked him coming out of Kansas. Looked really good as a rookie. Hit the sophomore slump like a mother bleeper. And I would love to try to buy low and see if you could fix him. So that would be my choice between the guys that you presented there. Thank you, Brandon. All right, the next question here comes from Drew Gallegos, who writes, would you be willing to move on from Carr if we could also include Vando, and Adu if we can include DK? I don't know, just giving ideas. No, I saw people kind of talking about the notion. I saw Sam Quinn, who is really good, you know, as far as like asset management. He and I tend to see pretty eye to eye on Twitter. But he was talking about like including a pick swap to offload Vando's contract. And to me, like I would, of all of the paths that the Lakers can take right now, the one that I think appeals to me most is just to waive and stretch Vando and see how much flexibility you get that way. And the reason for it is because like this team, this roster is pretty much set, right? In terms of like, we know it's going to be this expensive for at least the next few years. And like dead money doesn't really bother me that much, you know, when you're a team that is just going to continue scaling up in terms of costs, whereas this team doesn't have very many trade assets, and you know, they have no tradable first rounders for the next, you know, 7 years or whatever the number is, unless it's like on draft day after you've made the draft pick for the other team. But you know, as far as like, if I had to choose a path, and also like the reason I'm making that point is because like, if you don't have draft picks and you don't have rotation players that you're including in trades, then the next thing that you can kind of, and you don't have cap space that you're including in trades, then the next thing that you have to be able to consider including are younger guys like Adu Thero and Cam Carr. And so with them being one of the very few assets that the Lakers can include in some of these trades, especially as they start to come into their own as players. And I think Cam is a guy who I think is going to be fairly ready right away to help in interesting spots or in specific spots. Thero is somebody who like, I really want to see get a lot more playing time this year. And I would like to see the Lakers as they build out their organization, right? As the Dodgerification continues and they build out their organization and they really focus on developing some of these guys, I would much rather keep those guys in my organization and then just, you know, eat whatever dead money from DK or from Vando that I have to. All right, my next question here comes from Mockman FI7RX, who writes, when we changing the name to Snowtime? Love the show. Thank you very much. Yeah, I've seen Snowtime making the rounds. I joked that the Lakers jersey patch next year is going to be Abercrombie and Fitch. It's funny. I was talking to a source the other day, and I asked, like, hey, Rob is aware, right? Rob Pelinka is aware of all of these jokes about the number of white dudes that he continues to employ, right? And he's like, yeah, we've seen the memes. We've seen, you know, these white men are dangerous is a funny meme to him. And he's seen the Snowtime jokes and all of that. So the exciting whites meme, right, is another one that apparently Rob Pelinka is aware of. And I like, everybody has been really good at coming up with those jokes. I've found all of that really, really funny. I think it's like exponentially funnier that Rob Pelinka is aware of the jokes. It just makes me so happy that he is aware that these jokes are out there and that these jokes continue to get made, and that he continues to, yeah, I don't think it's like a conscious effort or anything like that to lean in, but they just keep on happening to find exciting whites. All right. Next question here comes from, I was scrolling by and all I see is like Mr. Casino go carb talk. It's like, yeah. I love me some spaghetti, and my kids love them some daddy spaghetti. What can I say? Rouse spaghetti sauce is my favorite. You guys got to try that one. Let's see. The next question here comes from, well, we have a member question from Kristen Lee, who writes, I want to be optimistic for my own happiness. Think of it this way. Look what Orlando paid for Bane. In reality, we should have had to give up 4 or 5 first round picks for Luka. So it kind of evens out, you're saying? No, I mean, I kind of get it. I would prefer to just continue to come out ahead in stuff like that. And look, like, you're right that, or the people who have pointed this out are right, objectively correct in saying that the cost of a starting caliber, even all-star caliber center, is typically a couple of first round picks. Look what Ivica Zubac went for when he got traded from the Clippers to the Pacers, right? And the Pacers wound up paying even more because that top 5 pick wound up conveying to the Clippers. It was such a bad draft trade that, remember, the Pacers GM apologized for it publicly. So, like, you know, in that sense, and Zubac is a lot more proven than Kessler, so that's worth pointing out as well. But still, like, for the Lakers, they really believe that Kessler is going to be one of those perennial all-star candidate centers. They think he's going to anchor their defense. They think he's going to stay healthier. They think he's going to continue to grow because he's younger. The price on Kessler makes sense if it's in a vacuum. The problem is that was all that the Lakers had to offer. That was all of their spending power. And usually in sign and trades, like, I would have much rather, to the point that I made a second ago, as far as, like, you know, how expensive a roster can get, I would have rather paid Walker Kessler a full max and not included any draft compensation. And at that point risked, you know, having him, you know, signing him to a deal in Utah, not matching. Or Utah matching. So to me, that's what I would kind of have preferred to have happen, so that you could use that draft capital to then, you know, get the wing that the Lakers clearly need right now. And but, you know, because Rob Pelinka knew that his job was riding on whether or not he lands this specific center, given the amount of eggs that he had put into that basket. Utah just took advantage of the situation and asked for everything, which you normally don't see in sign and trade situations. So here we stand with that. But the one thing I will say, and I've seen other people mention it, and I think it's a good point to make. If you're going to include all of that stuff, if you're like the not just the first two, the two first round picks that the Lakers traded, those two unprotected first round picks that the Lakers traded, but on top of that, you're also trading pick swaps as well. If you're doing all of that and you're not including one of these contracts that you're trying to get rid of right now, like Dalton Knecht should have been in the trade. He's an expiring contract. Like, we'll see what he gets used on or whatever, but clearly, like, he's this guy who teams want, like, a second round pick or just cash to take him on or whatever. Like, if that's what you eventually have to do in a separate transaction, I would have tried to include him at the very least. Even, like, the thinking here is that you're definitely not going to be able to include Jared Vanderbilt in the deal, which I would have preferred to do. But if not, then like, why isn't Knecht in the deal? Like, if you're doing all of that, you got and you're basically putting all of your assets towards this one thing, you got to try to lump all of like those two transactions together in some way. And I thought it was pretty disappointing that the Lakers that Rob Pelinka wasn't able to negotiate his way out of that. Which, by the way, Rob is a negotiator. How are you an agent? Like, I guess your job was done for you because you were Kobe's agent. But you give away these player options like you're Oprah giving away cars. You're, you know, apparently if we're to believe the stories that are out there, which I don't fully necessarily, but still, if you're to believe the story that at least Austin's camp wants out there, Rob went from $30 to $46 million in a matter of 16 hours just because Detroit said maybe, just maybe, we would open up enough spending power to maybe give Austin his contract when they never actually did that. Like, that's really poor negotiating from Rob Pelinka, the super agent. You gave away everything to Utah when the negotiating power that you had was, all right, fine. Don't sign and trade him to us. We'll just give you this offer and your books are either going to be screwed or you're going to give this guy away for nothing. Your call. Didn't even do that. Like, his inability, the fact that, like, according to these reports, Rob never like contacted LeBron, and it pissed LeBron off enough that he didn't, and he felt so unwanted that he was just like, fine, I'm out of here then. Like, I don't know. There's a communication. There's an ability to communicate there from Rob that just really falls short of what you need at that, you know, in that job role or that position. And it's just, it keeps on biting the Lakers that he can't do it. Unless it's Nico. And Nico is hell-bent on doing something really, really stupid.